anybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
I'm the sir, that's a penalty!
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, this is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
Look in my eyes, what do you see?
We are the only live, local, and consistent evening radio show in the city of Houston to talk sports. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Patch Creighton with you, ESPN 975-713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line on the phones, on the text line, and of course on Twitter, at PCreighton1. Tyler Scott on the other side of the desk, trolling the hell out of me already. Like, I'm not even in my seat. He's like, oh, 10 seconds. It's like everybody knows that I'm literally walking from the other studio in here at like 7:01. I don't even have my computer out yet.
10 seconds.
Really?
You don't need your computer.
Really? You couldn't even let me sit down. You're a bad person. You're a bad person.
I'm trying to give you more talk time.
Still a bad person. Don't give me that. Hey, I'm just an Astros lookalike. You're a bad person. Usually the Astros are not this far into a game when I first start. But for those of you who have not seen, the Astros are up 5-0 over the Tigers. And George Springer not in the lineup tonight. Apparently that thumb injury, you know, the one that he supposedly doesn't have. Apparently he aggravated it yesterday, so he needed a maintenance day. Now, Georgie's a tough SOB. And if he can play, he's going to play. So if he's not playing, you know, it really hurt. But, you know, for those people who want to tell me, oh, he doesn't really have a thumb injury, that's not true. He's all better. I'll accept your apologies whenever you're ready. I'm not going to hold you to it. I'm not going to hold my breath. But there was a reason why when I told you, when I reported that his thumb injury was worse than the Astros were letting on, and it was something he was going to have to deal with all year long, you know, that he's got a ligament injury because, let's be real, if it was just a muscle, you know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, they heal. Bone injuries, they heal. What kind of an injury is not going to heal over the period of 8 to 10 weeks? Like, it's not going to get better. What kind of injury would that be? Well, they would only be ligaments or tendons, because those things you would actually need to have surgery to repair. That's the only kind of injury that's not getting better no matter what. And like I said, George is a tough SOB. He would play with one arm if you let him. And it looked like he had, we'll call it, we'll use an Astros word, discomfort during yesterday's game. So he's getting a little day off today. Stuff that's pretty cool, the Astros now with 50 road wins in back-to-back seasons. And they have a chance. Today they get a win. They will match the Major League record of 104 total road wins in consecutive seasons. That's pretty damn impressive. They're about to tie an all-time Major League record with a win tonight for road wins in back-to-back seasons. So we'll keep tabs on that Astros game. Let you know a little bit what's going on as the game goes on, because that's my job. unlike other people in this city who seem to like to tell us what's not their job. Things that aren't your job. There was a tweet out earlier today talking about Texans rookie wide receiver Vincent Smith, that he became the first rookie college free agent to start week one in franchise history. You know, he's a D2 kid, came out of Limestone College. And you might remember him as being the guy who had no idea where the football was and made no effort on the football on the interception in the end zone, which was a bad decision by Deshaun Watson. It was a bad throw by Deshaun Watson. And there was non-existent effort by Vincent Smith in actually trying to make a play on that football. That's probably why rookie undrafted free agents from Division II schools don't start. That's probably why. I mean, if you were playing a pickup game with your friends, you'd have bitched out your friend for not making an effort on that ball. That's how pathetic it was. You get to at least try. Texans have issues on the offensive line. I mean, who would have thought that the throw it against the wall and hope it sticks plan wouldn't work? Who would have thought? Well, it didn't work. Sean Charles Henderson's going to be out for the year. He's got a busted ankle. And Martinez Rankin came in, and I guess he had to go to the left side because I guess he's not able to play the right side. So they moved Davenport to the right side, and he hadn't gotten any snaps on the right side. So they both looked awful. And the Texans today were looking for tackles. So they brought in a few guys, some of whom you probably know. Chris Clark. We all remember Chris Clark, right? Chris Clark was one of the tackles that they brought in to work out today. I'm sure that name evokes a lot of happiness among Texans fans. And part of that is because Chris Clark played with a bum shoulder, but needless to say, he trying to find a tackle is hard. If tackles are any good, they're not on the market. Austin Howard came in to work out today, and Cornelius Lucas came in to work out today. So they brought in three guys. You know who they didn't bring in? They didn't bring in Breshad Breeland, who is probably the best corner on the market. And Kevin Johnson is going on IR with his second concussion in a month. And you saw what multiple concussions in a short period of time did for the career of C.J. Fedorowicz. Kevin Johnson now facing maybe something similar with multiple concussions in a very short period of time. I hope the best for him health-wise. But there's certain things we have to accept that are accurate. One is Kevin Johnson is not a very good player. And two is he's not going to play for a while. And they're already thin at the position. Kayvon Webster apparently is not ready. He had a ruptured his Achilles last year, so he's not ready to go yet. They might have wanted to consider bringing in some corners. I guess that $29 million they have in cap space, we're just going to chill. So the Texans brought in three offensive tackles for a look-see. And then later on, Aaron Wilson of the Chronicle reported, the Texans are not signing a veteran offensive lineman at this time. Forgive me for going, WTF? We're going to throw out the same crap they threw out last week? How do you plan on replacing Chantrell Henderson? Is there a plan? Is there anything? Well, yeah, turns out that the Texans are expected to make a promotion from the practice squad. look at the excitement pouring over my face. Well, if they're expected to bring a tackle off the practice squad, they only have one tackle on the practice squad. We'll talk about them next. Late Hits.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, this is the only live, local, and consistent evening sports show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the phone line, on the text line, at PCreighton1 on Twitter. The Texans continue to drive us crazy with baffling decisions. So as of, they are currently, according to Spotrac.com, they've got about $23.5 million in cap space currently available as of right now. Kevin Johnson's going to IR. They do not bring in any cornerbacks. Sean Charles Henderson goes to IR. They bring in three tackles to work out. They bring in Chris Clark. They bring in Austin Howard. And they brought in one other guy. Cornelius Lucas. But then Aaron Wilson reported that they were not going to sign anyone. They were going to promote a guy from the practice squad. Well, the only guy on their practice squad that they had to promote as far as tackles go is Roderick Johnson. Now, Roderick Johnson was pretty good tackle at Florida State, two-time All-ACC player. But he doesn't have a whole lot of track record in the NFL. Now, he's very young. He'll be 23 at the end of November. So, not even 23 years old yet. Was drafted in the fifth round in 2017 by the Cleveland Browns. They traded up to get him. Then he got hurt, and they just dumped him. He's huge. That is one thing he has going for him. The guy is gigantic. He's 6'7". And his workout combo wasn't bad. He's 6'7". He's 311 pounds. He's real tall. He's still a little lean. He's a guy who's... where it's funny thing is his workout on NFL.com, his write-up was actually done by Lance Erline. Funny how that works. He got graded 552. Well, that's starter potential. You know, he's the guy who won the Jacobs blocking trophy 2 years in a row at Florida State. He's real long. Like I said, 6'7", 36-inch arms. You know, usually when we're talking about a tackle, you want a tackle to at least have 34-inch arms that they can, you know, create that separation between they and a defensive end. He's 36, which is insanely long arms. And unlike maybe somebody who claims to have big hands and tweets a lot, 10 3/4 hands, that's a pretty big hand. I think he could palm my head. So a real young guy who's very raw, has some physical attributes, needs to work on his technique. This is the guy that they thought was a better fit right this second than a veteran tackle that's actually played in the NFL and had some kind of success. Not that he couldn't be a good player, but do we really trust that Roderick Johnson's ready to contribute right now? Because what we saw on Sunday was that Martinez Rankin is not ready to contribute right now. And at least on the right side, Julian Davenport, not really ready to contribute right now. Both tackles can't be bad. And again, the only thing I can think of why they moved Davenport from the left side to the right side when Rankin came in is that Rankin can't play the right side. You know, it's kind of like switch hitting. Not everybody can switch hit. You know, and if you are a switch hitter, you're still better from one side than the other. But the tackles are going to be an issue. Again, the lack of addressing the tackle position, the lack of depth, the fact that they have all that money and they didn't use it. These are issues. We saw a lot of issues pop up with the Texans on Sunday, and this has nothing to do with the play of the quarterback. Because I don't think anybody really expects Deshaun Watson's going to play like that all year. All right, but they didn't address the tackle position. They didn't have any depth at the tackle position. And now they've suffered a major injury at the tackle position right away. So they've got to go scramble and try to find somebody. And it's slim pickings at that position. They found themselves down two wide receivers because Will Fuller couldn't go and Kiki Kuti couldn't go. And what we saw was the only really reliable receiver they had was Hopkins. So they lack depth at the wide receiver position. And then Kevin Johnson got hurt, and we saw they lack depth at the cornerback position. Kevin Johnson's going to IR with his second concussion in a month. Kayvon Webster's not ready to play. What's next? Rashad Breeland's the best corner on the market. Is he here? No. He's somewhere else. I think he was in Philadelphia. Is it not important to address the cornerback position in a pass-happy league that continues to make more and more rules to make it harder to guard people? Things like this drive me crazy because I want to see the Texans compete at the highest level. It's hard to compete at the highest level when you know that you have deficiencies on your team and your attitude is, somebody will step up. When? Who? You're watching the same guys we are. Do any of you feel confident in either of those two tackles right now? Or the fact that they're going to call up a project tackle off their practice squad. Does that make you feel better about the tackles? I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you on the tackles. I want to hear from you about the receivers. I want to hear from you about the cornerbacks. Because, like, don't you feel like if they can stay healthy at key spots, they have a shot at the playoffs? They have a shot at the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to win 12 games, but they have a shot at the playoffs. To not utilize every single bullet in the gun, to get the best available players at every position, that should drive you crazy. That should make you insane. You know, the amount of and I'm not even talking about just the money, because I know, you know, ticket holders spend a ton of money. Spend a ton of money on tickets. They spend a ton of money on parking. People who aren't ticket holders who are buying their tickets secondhand are paying a massive ton of money and then paying for parking. And then whatever else you get into, whether you're buying jerseys or you're buying apparel or you're buying whatever and whatever food and all that. Like, don't you want to see your team go out and get the best possible players to have the best chance to win on a Sunday? And I know that Dez Bryant doesn't fit the Bob McNair personality profile, But he's far and away the best receiver on the market, and they haven't talked to him once. You're telling me that having a guy like Dez Bryant wouldn't help this team, wouldn't help take some of that attention away from DeAndre Hopkins? Every single play, he was doubled, and if he wasn't doubled, he was tripled. That's why, despite all his catches, he didn't even average 10 yards a catch. Okay, it wasn't because, DeAndre's slow. DeAndre doesn't get separation. Save all that stupidity. It's because the Patriots were all over him every single second. And even when he was open, he wasn't open for long. And none of the other receivers really stepped up. Now, he missed Ellington a couple of times when he was open. And then Ellington dropped a couple of balls on him. Forget the other guy. I mean, the tight ends didn't see a whole lot of action. Lamar Miller didn't see a whole lot of action. These are the things that drive me crazy because I want them to be better. Oscar, you're on Late Hits. What's going on, Oscar?
Hey, good evening, man. How are you?
Doing all right, brother. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you actually hit it on the head while I was waiting. I heard you bring up Dez Bryant. So, like, I just can't understand how you let a guy like that even, I mean, the guy doesn't have the same skills he used to, but, I mean, you could see it in the game. DeAndre was double-teamed every single time, like you were just saying. There was no way we were going to get him the ball. They just shut him down, and we had no other options out there. I mean, I hated the news that Will Fuller was going to miss the game because I could see it coming. Like, and you know, it's just, there's a guy like Corey Coleman. Like, you see the Patriots pick up Corey Coleman. He's a previous first-round pick. Like, yeah, he hasn't worked out, but he's got to be more, you know, give the guy a shot. See if he's worth the pickup. You know, there's all kind of players that Martavis Bryant, I know that he's got some, I think he's suspended or something. I don't know.
Well, no, but Martavis Bryant, there was this looming, and you got to turn your radio down. Martavis Bryant supposedly has this looming suspension over him, but he just re-signed with Oakland. So he's off the board.
Oh, okay. I see. I mean, do you think that Corey Coleman would have been somebody to look at? I mean, I don't know. I just feel like we don't have any depth anywhere, to be honest with you. I can't even think of a position where we're deep at.
Well, I'll tell you what. If Corey Coleman couldn't make the Browns and he couldn't make the Bills, that's not a guy I'd have a whole lot of confidence in being able to make an impact on the Texans. And when I say we're talking about finding a wide receiver for the Texans, I'm not talking about finding a body or finding a developmental guy. You know, one of the things that you said that's important is that Will Fuller couldn't get on the field. Will Fuller has now missed 7 of the last 17 games. That's way too high a number for a guy that they put a lot of trust and a lot of their game plan into, that he's not available 45% of the time. And when he's not available, too much attention gets shifted onto DeAndre Hopkins. And that's why, to me, a guy like Dez Bryant helps them so much, because you have to account for Dez Bryant. You know, as much as his, you know, former offensive coordinator, and as much as Stephen Jones might talk crap about Dez Bryant, you never hear his teammates talk crap about him. Every one of his teammates says he's a terrific player and a good teammate. Why is that? Why are the teammates who speak up say that he's a great teammate and he cares about winning and he just wears his emotions on his sleeve and he doesn't take crap from Linehan? You know, because when you get into the film room, Linehan will be calling out players who did something wrong. And Dez will be like, well, you know what? I told you this play wasn't going to work here and to do that, and you forced this play on us, and it didn't work. So where's your accountability? And Linehan didn't like that. And that's why there's tension between Bryant and Linehan. But pretty much all of Dez Bryant's former teammates, especially the receivers, because Cole Beasley recently was one of the guys who came out and defended him and said that he'd be a great addition to somebody, Dez Bryant would make a big difference on this team, especially since you don't know how many games are you going to get out of Will Fuller. That is a major problem for this team, because after Hopkins and Fuller, it's a lot of question marks. Question marks don't win.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree.
All right, Oscar. Appreciate the call, buddy. We are.
All right, thank you, man. You have a good evening.
All right, you too. We'll get to more of your calls coming up next. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. On the phone line, on the text line, on Twitter at PreCreighton1. Getting into your Houston Texans, because that's our job. It's Late Hits.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, let's give away free stuff. How about caller number 8? 713-780-3776. Caller 8 gets a 4-pack of tickets for the Shriners Monster Truck Spectacular featuring Bigfoot. It's coming to the Lone Star Convention Center for the very first time ever. Get a 4-pack of tickets for Saturday, September 15th to see 6 of the best monster trucks in the country. Bigfoot, Snakebite, Barbarian, and more. They'll compete in a tailgate-ripping wheelie contest, full-throttle side-by-side racing, no-time-limit freestyle. Plus, there's Pro ATV quad racing and the Monster Truck Ride Experience, all available. Tickets start at just $20. Get yours now at ShrinersMonsterTruck.com/tickets. Caller number 8 gets a 4-pack for Saturday, September 15th. All right, we'll get back to the calls and the texts and the tweets. On the text line, somebody asked, rumors are if the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl, Belichick... All right, stop. This isn't even worth addressing. There are no rumors that Bill Belichick is out if he doesn't win a Super Bowl. That is asinine. Bill Belichick will be the head coach of the New England Patriots until he decides he's not going to be the head coach of the New England Patriots. He's 66 years old. This is going to be his last job. He's never going to coach anywhere else. And he will coach there for as long as he damn well pleases. And if somebody told you that rumor, you should punch them in the face, because they're stupid. You might smack yourself for believing it. Brandon on the text, on the Twitter. Brandon on Twitter said they had their chances with some veteran wide receivers. They didn't explore. What's the status on Kiki Kuti? Kuti's got a hammy. He missed pretty much all the off of the preseason. There won't be a new update on anybody until after practice tomorrow. But considering he's missed pretty much the entire preseason, chances are he's not going to be ready to go week two. I wouldn't be stunned, but I think it would be a surprise if he's able to go week two. And if he is, they might be pushing him because they're short on bodies. But every Wednesday after practice on Wednesday, because Tuesday is the off day. So after practice on Wednesday, that's when we get the next update on injuries as far as what's going on with guys. So we'll know more about Kuti. We'll know more about Fuller tomorrow. All right, Vernon, you're on Late Hits. What's going on, Vernon? Vernon, got to turn your radio down, brother.
All right, Vernon, you're on.
Vernon.
Hey.
Hey, you got to turn your radio down, bro.
Okay. How you doing?
Doing all right, brother. What's on your mind?
Okay. Is it true if Texans sign Dez Bryant, and then if things don't work out and cut him, would they only have to pay Dez Bryant for that month instead of that whole the rest of the year?
That is essentially true. Now that you're talking about signing contracts after the first game of the year, contracts are only guaranteed 25%. So if they play them and they cut them later on, they're only responsible for 25% of the contract. So contract guarantees are 25% instead of fully guaranteed if they make the roster prior to game one.
Okay, so...
If your question is, is there no risk, you got to turn the radio down, brother. There's a 7-second delay between what we're talking about and what you hear on the radio. Got to go, Vern. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know how many times you want me to say turn your radio down.
I told him to.
Is that full under, that's not my job? That is not my job. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the phone line, on the text line, and on the Twitter. But, yeah, you know, and that's one of the reasons why, if you're talking about the idea of bringing in Dez Bryant, there is so little risk to bringing him in at this point in the year because, you know, the contract will never be fully guaranteed. You're only responsible for 25% of the contract in the event you cut him. It actually gives you the opportunity to sign him to a big enough contract that makes it enticing enough for him to want to choose your team over another team and still not be strapped by it if things don't work out. You could just let him go, and you don't really pay that whole much. You pay 25%. So... look at it this way. If they signed him to a $10 million contract and he plays three games and it doesn't work out and they cut him, they owe him $2.5 million. I don't think $2.5 million is too much to risk for a guy who could potentially be an impact player. How many times can you pick up an impact player at this point in the season? None. You know, we're talking about tackles. Chris Clark, Austin Howard. These are replacement-level players. Now, replacement level might be better than what they have. It's still replacement level. Dez Bryant may not be, you know, the all-pro he once was. But if he can give you something close to a Pro Bowl caliber season by playing opposite DeAndre Hopkins, by having a huge chip on his shoulder about how things went south in Dallas, by signing with the team that people in Dallas probably hate the most, that's not named, you know, New York or Philadelphia or Washington. You know, and considering that the Texans will get a shot at them, I mean, you can't tell. Dez would sure love to get a shot at playing against the Cowboys. He'd love to get a shot to play against the Cowboys. I'd say he'd give his left arm, but he'd probably give his left something else, and you know what I mean. All right, we'll get to more of your calls. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP listener line. On Twitter at PCreighton1. It's Late Hits.
I'm a sad man.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, we are the only live, local, and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Congratulations to Neil in Spring. He wins the four-pack to see the Monster Truck Spectacular at the Lone Star Convention Center on Saturday the 15th. You know what? We'll have more tickets to give away later on in the show as well. On the text line, somebody says, if they set the over-under for J.J. Watt selfies this season at 10, are you taking the over or the under? Is this before the bye week, or do I have the whole season on this? Because if I have the whole season on this, I'm definitely taking the over. Better yet, will J.J. rack up more sacks or take more selfies this season? Going with selfies. Now, listen, J.J. might have 12 sacks this year. I'm still taking the selfies. All right, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the phone line. Daniel, you are on Late Hits. What's up, Daniel? Daniel. Sorry, Daniel. That connection was like you were on 2400 baud dial-up. You got to get the high-speed connect, so try us back again. We'll go to Josh on the phone. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Doing all right, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, the only team that matters, brother, the New England Patriots. Big fan. I thought we played sloppy on Sunday. I mean, obviously not as bad as the Texans, but just wanted to get your thoughts on what makes the Patriots different than everybody else is they can bring in players, you know, scrubs, cast-offs, and make them prime-time players. I mean, Wes Welker, Danny Amendola, Chris Hogan, who are these guys before they got to New England? So I can understand the Texans, you know, are kind of leery with trying to pick up these, you know, players who don't really have a name for themselves. But you would think Houston basically has the entire Patriots coaching, Bill Belichick tree on the coaching staff. And just want to get your opinion on that.
Josh, what bridge are you currently calling from under? Oh, he ran away. Chicken. At least tell us what bridge you're underneath that you're calling from so we could try to figure out what type of troll you are. You know, the idea, oh, Wes Welker was a nobody. Well, actually incorrect. Wes Welker was an up-and-coming young receiver in Miami. Danny Amendola was a young, promising receiver in the Rams. So, I mean, it's a straight-up troll call. It's not really worth addressing all the stupidity. Thinking that Bill Belichick has some magic shack where he takes a pile of trash and he puts it in there and out pops, you know, Captain America every time. Yeah, Belichick is one of the greatest coaches of all time. And Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You can make an argument that both Brady and Belichick are the best of all time as quarterback and coach. And they happen to be together. And, you know, the Patriots were a little sloppy. They turned it over three times. And I think if Watson was playing more like Watson and not so rusty, the Texans probably would have won that game. And they probably would have won it by 10 points. It's all right. Because nobody really believes Deshaun Watson is going to struggle that badly, you know, the rest of the season. Nobody believes that at all. They got to figure out what they're going to do with their tackles, because the tackles position's a problem. And they're going to need to figure out the wide receiver position, because without Kuti and without Fuller, they're really short. And they got to figure out what they're going to do at corner, because they're short there too. Not every team can be Brady getting the ball out of his hands in less than 2 seconds. So you know, the pass rush that was somewhat ineffective. They had two sacks. They had five hits. They only had two tackles for loss, both by DJ Reader. So they didn't get a whole lot of penetration. J.J. Watt, J.D. Clowney, Brittany Merciless, they didn't have good games. Watt got a couple of hits. J.D. didn't have a good game. Whitney had a worse game. But I don't think this is what we're going to see from the Texans all year long. We know J.D. got very few reps in the offseason because he's coming off surgery. J.J.'s coming back from two very serious injuries. Let's see how they respond. Give him a little bit more time. All right, Lamont, you're on Late Hits. What's going on, Lamont?
Hey, man. Hey, what's the deal with it, Pete?
Working hard, praying to God, brother. I'm, trying to figure out how much stuff I need to buy for this hurricane that's supposedly coming our direction.
Yeah, want to talk about the Texans, man. And you know something, man, going back to the East Coast, man, y'all stay safe, man. Stay safe around there. But with the Texans, and here's where I'm at with it. There's a lot of, a lot of people are going for obvious points, but there's a lot of stuff that's under the radar that people are not hidden with. Obviously, the preseason. We know about the reps in the preseason. But something that people are not talking about is that young quarterback who blocked me today on Twitter.
What did you do?
What'd you say?
What did you do?
I mean, when him and Pat got into it, I was just laughing and, playing him out. And I went to go search his name out, and I just noticed that he had blocked me. But I don't care about all that. I still ride for Deshaun, man. But he's playing with almost 60 to 70% of a whole new offense. And something that people are not pointing out about that game, because, it's easy to go into the Kevin Johnsons and all of the other stuff, but the receivers was dropping a lot of passes, a lot of catches. They was dropping a lot to me.
Ellington dropped a couple.
Yeah, Hopkins dropped like three or four. Ellington dropped some, and the Vincent dude dropped some. But it sends me to my last point, which somebody had brought up to you about before with Dez Bryant. Say, man, I like Dez Bryant, and I wanted Dez Bryant, but I want him for the wrong reasons, man. I just want to see Dez Bryant and Bill O'Brien on the sideline, man. That means, come on, man.
You want to see him go at it?
If your ratings right now, are twos and threes, you're looking at seven and eight, because Dez Bryant and Bill O'Brien is made for TV. It would be a freaking show, and I almost said another F word, and I'm out, man.
Freaking Farkin. That was the other one. Farkin. Flippin. There's a possibility that Dez and O'Brien, that could be WWE style TV. There could be some world class promos being cut right there on the sideline. But, at the end of the day, they're thin at receiver. And Fuller's injury track record is a major problem. They don't have enough dudes. You can't, Hopkins and Fuller and Lamar Miller and Watson, and we've got playmakers. Well, when one of them's out of the lineup, then what? Because they didn't look so good. Hopkins got 11 targets, and he dropped a couple of balls. Ellington dropped a couple of balls. He caught 4 out of 8. Ryan Griffin caught 0 out of 5. Vincent Smith didn't even try to make a play on the ball in the end zone that got intercepted. Now, it was 2nd and 3. There was no reason to go to the end zone for Deshaun. It wasn't a well-thrown ball. But Vincent Smith is like a deer in headlights. He had no idea where the hell the ball was. The receiver cannot be clueless about where the football is when it's in the air. I was not impressed. Sorry, not impressed with that kid at all. And while there is the possibility of some combustion with Dez Bryant and Bill O'Brien, I don't care about that. What I care about is make the damn play on the field. Because I'd feel a lot more confident in Dez Bryant making a play on the field than any of these other cats not named DeAndre Hopkins. That's a problem for the Texans. Again, I thought Deshaun was rusty, and I don't think he'll be that rusty going forward. He didn't get a whole lot of reps in the preseason. I think that'll take care of itself with just getting more reps and having more playing time. And you know, you're right there. You've got a lot of different faces on the offensive line, and you got a lot of different faces all over the offense. And I don't think Deshaun's ever had that bad a game. Not last season with the Texans. Not in any season at Clemson. So I would consider this game to be an aberration. Plus, Bill O'Brien had an awful lot of time to prepare for a Texans team. That's never a good sign. He is the master game planner. But they need another playmaker on the outside. There's no reason for it not to be Dez. No football reason for it not to be Dez. Wrapping up hour one, we'll get to more of your calls coming up next. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the phone line, on the text line, on Twitter, more on your Houston Texans. Coming up next on Late Hits.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.